pero no es la causa, pero es not now for time. And then we're expecting more people to arrive in, during the morning, so probably it's hard to do, but I will be there. Okay, first of all, thank you everybody for being here today. You know that it's not easy for people traveling and coming all the way to Guadalajara, Mexico, from Europe. So we really appreciate you coming here today. And this session will be about putting together the course groups that are now in 25 days. And my colleague, Miguel is going to present briefly an overview of the three working groups, and then we will go into specific activities related to the users working group and all the people from all the working groups to talk about the preliminary ideas that we have for each groups and activities.
Thank you. Welcome to the conversation. This is a brief introduction to the project Federal Mexico. This is a very very interesting project concerning the enhancing the cooperation of fiber here in Mexico and the cooperation, of course, within Europe. So this is a H2020 project, coordinated protection, and also with a co-grant with CONACYT for the Mexican part. This is a project with 2 years duration, starting first September 2016. So the consortium, well, this is the European part, EMAP in Europa, Telefonica, Research and Innovation, now it's FBK, not created yet, FBK, you have to update the presentation, and Martel Consulting, of course. And concerning the Mexican side, we have Infotech, we have their representatives, of course, from their stages, representing Infotech, and of course, the coordinator of the project. We have CUDI, of course, who is the main organizer of this event, of course, Nantes Technological Monterrey. Well, what we have is, well, the main goal of FIWER is not only to concern the industry, but it's a practical example of the cross-industry collaboration, because this is an effort of this platform, not only for the use of technology, but also for enhancing the pillars of the transversals, or verticals, I'm sorry, concerning applications. For example, concerning smart cities, we have this morning all around with the Open Power Camp. Smart cities, health, we have also energy and security. So what we have all around the project is to enhance success stories in Europe, just to find, of course, the way in which these success stories could be applied in the Mexican context, but also to find the challenge that could also be applied in Europe, because we have some specificities concerning the culture, the cities, transportation, and this can also open some other opportunities in Europe. So, what we search is to accelerate this market uptake of fiber technologies in Mexico. Why? Not only because of the technology, but also, as I have already said, for the applications. So, way what we search in first time is to allow developers, integrators, contributors, and end users to benefit from this ecosystem here in Mexico, of course. What is the main reason is that users will be able to embrace the fiber as a standard. The objective is not a standard as an ISO, but at least as a set of good practices to set the context information and management, for example, for an IoT platform or services in cities, for example, or running experimental activities on the fiber lab for developers, for example, at the Infotech site in Aguascalientes. But also what we want is to stimulate this cooperation among these channels, as you mentioned, on all around the fiber, but in a general manner in ICT technologies. So we have this set of objectives, just to enhance, of course, collaboration between Mexico and fiber. Of course, fiber is the first pillar we have, just to start this dynamic between regions, but also in the general part, the ICT as a whole. So the first objective is to design and implement a complete training for fiber technology. We have already set first action concerning the training for trainers. Here at the CUDI meeting, we have a session for training some of the developers, and also a hackathon, which is still on the way. Tomorrow we will have the session for revelations. The second is to establish different working groups. This is the main reason you are here in this session. And to support the fiber technologies by engaging the industry and other stakeholders, of course, like end users. This is, I think, the most important part, but also research in academia, and also, of course, the industry itself, the industry working group itself. To support the strategy, this is a very important point, because to support the strategy between Europe and Mexico cooperation around fiber concerns also in the congregations between programs for supporting, for granting, and of course to enhance this collaboration. The first step is, of course, to have the grants for policy part concerning H20 training projects, but also to have the similar mechanism or funding to embrace accelerator programs, for example, incubation and accelerator program, but all are on fiber, not only the main acceleration or incubation program we have in Mexico. So this is a very important part, because what we want is also not only to have fiber, but also some other ICT-related domains, of course. The fourth one is to define and foster fiber branding synergies to facilitate networking among relevant stakeholders. One of the objectives of the working groups is, of course, to embrace the collaboration among these groups, for example, for end users, not only to work on the challenge we are facing here in Mexico, but also to find these synergies in order to have this collaboration, but also to find the key elements to embrace synergy among the other groups, for example, industry, government, and so on. And finally, to increase the visibility of the project outcomes, because we one of the these outcomes will be the input papers with recommendations, mainly recommendations, and also an action plan in order to start this team. Not only to do the recommendation, but also the first steps towards, for example, the structure of the grants, for example. From the Mexican part, but also for the European one. Okay, these are the main objectives. What we want is to strengthen, of course, the part of the technology, the business challenge, but also the community. For us, the community will be the main part. This is one of the reasons we have the working groups. Working groups are pillar among the communities within the work around in order to push or to have some traction on these initiatives. For example, here in CUDI, we have several communities, and what we want is to, of course, to embrace, for example, the research and education group, to embrace two main research groups, and to have some particular initiatives. Just a first step, just for example, as an example. So, finally, what we have in the working groups, the working groups are composed by well-recognized experts representing and connecting to a broad network of innovators and businesses. You will have particular meetings concerning each group, In this room, what we have is the users group, and the another group that we will have the research and education and industry group all together, because this group is leading the initiative for the papers and the other initiatives, of course. But what we want is also that these groups will focus on areas of the power-driven innovation. For example, in this way, as a tackle societal challenges here in Mexico, in this way, we decided with some other studies among the collaboration between Europe and Mexico, transport, security, health, and energy. So the idea is that these working groups will work in a continuous, of course, activities, but in a basis of 3 monthly virtual or face-to-face meetings. In this case, it will be the first face-to-face meeting. So these are the main objectives of the industry working group. It will be on our charge. And we have 3 main objectives. The first one is to identify and discuss best practices on final accelerator models for the Mexican case. So in this case, what we want is to have a benchmark of this accelerator, incubator and accelerator initiatives in Europe, and to evaluate our own initiatives here in Mexico. And of course, to have this benchmark of accelerators in Europe, and to produce an input paper with these best practices, and also recommendations for the, in general, for the industry, but also for government, in order to have this kind of funding mechanism. For the research and education working group that is in charge of Salma Khalife from Hungary, could not attend the event because of a familiar situation. We are with her. But what is important here is that we have these 5 objectives. The first one is to identify the research and community needs to develop innovative fiber applications. These research and education communities all around the research communities existing, already existing here at CUDI. And what we want is to promote the application of these software and hardware engineers among these research communities, but applying it to the fiber case, of course. But also, among these needs, this could select the set of communities having these challenges in order to promote the use of fiber. Of course, there are some needs pulling use the fiber platform, as let's say, in an easier manner than others, of course. That's why we will prioritize this. The fourth one is to foster the interdisciplinary collaboration between the trained engineers, but also the technical groups of these communities. So what we want is, of course, to have some kind of selected projects. For example, for the hackathon, what we want is also to discover some of the applications that could serve to the research communities, and to foster and also as a little grants or seed grants to enhance these projects. And finally, to produce an input paper with these best practices and recommendations in order to engage research and education communities within fiber, of course. And finally, this is the reason Oscar is leading the users, is to, of course, to tackle, maybe you can explain in a better way than me.
You're doing great. Anyway, so the objectives of this users working group is to make sense out of the potential fiber in Mexico. So what we want to do here is to involve the people that can actually give an impact using fiber to the society. So what we intend by users is kind of two sides here. On one side, we intend to involve policymakers, as the fiber community has been pushing from the very beginning. So involving the different municipalities, the different decision makers at local, national, regional level to create solutions that are really making sense of what is needed in the specific place. In the other side, we also are involving, we want to at least to put on the table the aspects related to the actual final users, so meaning the citizens. It's something that probably in fiber community has been discussed, but I think still it's too much very technology pushed the whole fiber story. So here what we want to do is to add, at least in the Mexican perspective, what would be the main successful or success factors for actually adopting the technologies from the user's point of view. So policymakers and final users intended as the citizens that will be applying the technologies. Then how we want to go to this? Well, it's very similar to the other experts groups. What we want to do is to set up a group of experts that represent this kind of users we are aiming for, at least the potential ideas that these users may be put into consideration, and then produce in the same way as in the other working groups, and some guidelines, some directives through a white paper that we will share with the other working groups to produce a final more visionary joint document by the end of the project. So this is more or less what we want. I don't know if there is other slides.
Okay.
Just
another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then if it's fine for you, we can go directly to the meeting of the users working group. Of course, you are all invited to be part of this. But what I will do now is to present a little bit more in detail what the group is about, who are the people involved. Of course, if someone is interested to get involved in this work, it's very welcome.
Yeah.
Please let me know. But also we're going to involve other people here from the other working groups to present a little bit of their ideas, right? Okay, so excuse me, a second. Try to do the presentation. Well, we had a preliminary agenda. We changed it a little bit because of the setting of the meeting. Now we're extending the meeting to be together with the other working groups. So I will probably skip this round table presentation, because if we do a round table presentation now, probably will take all the time for this meeting. But I will at least introduce very briefly the different members of the users working group. So as I mentioned, we try to involve people representing users at large, and this is the people that are already part of the work, people that are already been contributing in preliminary discussions that we started a few months ago. So we have Franz Ignacio Kekeli that is working or was working until very recently in the government of León, Guanajuato. I don't know if he's already here, but otherwise he will probably be joining later. We have Richard Stevens that I think is around.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that picture. I don't know.
You should be this morning, might be here in Puerto Vallarta. No, I'm sorry, no, but I think very nice picture, especially if we talk about users, so I'm happy to have the picture that provides it. Okay, thanks, Richard. Then we have Rafael Perez, he's sitting here in the room. Of course, we will, next we will give the word to each of you just to say a few words about your idea on this users working group. Adriana Lombardini is joining later. She sent an email this morning that she was taking her flight, so she will be arriving, she told me, around 9:30 or 10 to the meeting, so she's on the way to arrive. Maria Lima Toivonen, she's in VT team Finland. She's not going to make it for this meeting, but she's providing a lot of input to the group already. Victor Gonzalez, some of you know Victor. He's not here tomorrow, he's starting a course, so he couldn't make it, unfortunately. But the other members are here, so we have Giuseppe Cutri, he's sitting here. He's less a user, more a technologist, but we hope he will guide us in the users working group to see everything that all the dreams that we might have on our mind, to tell if they are feasible or not. Using fiber technology to kind of someone that pulls us down to the earth and say what is being done, what is something that could be done in the short term, what could be done in the longer term, and so on. And we have Christian Loring also here. He'll be representing more the users, as I mentioned before, more than as the final users, for the people that are actually the citizens that are actually been using the technology, but it's important to take care about them. Okay, and now I will show a very short video of produced not by us. I tell immediately that it's not our job, that our work here, but it's about produced by the Open and Agile Initiative on Smart Cities. And why I mentioned this, this is a very interesting initiative that is being run also parallel together with Fiverr at large. And it's an organization that is putting together different cities in the world, in Europe most mainly, but also in other regions. So for example, Mexico is already, some cities in Mexico are already part of this network. And they are sharing best practices, ideas, and other relevant findings about adoption of these technologies in worldwide, basically. So the video that I will show is very short, as I mentioned, is been taken in an event organized by the network. And why should I explain it better to show to see it?
I don't know how to explain it. It's just making the life easier to everyone. That's it.
We see a smart city as a place, an ecosystem in which we can develop sustainable solutions, citizen-centered. And very important is that those applications are unified.
Una smart city como tal lo que provee son un conjunto de herramientas y de dispositivos tecnológicos que alimentan, generan datos de la ciudad y permiten mejorar el día a día de los ciudadanos en base a todos esos datos generados.
It was surprising how beekeepers are demanding about technology and about new solutions, because the traditional image of the beekeepers is someone who has an ancestral and rural job and not really open to new technology. But in fact, it was the contrary. They are involved since the beginning of the project. We follow a kind of open innovation process to develop our solution. So they are very involved even in the design of the hardware, how to put it in the BIs. They really decide how to make this.
Daily work was me and my colleague, because we are two founders, grabbing the laptop, going to the co-working, write a bit, and then sometimes ask for advice to the people around, but not just mentors, but even all the other startups present in the co-working.
Tenemos un sistema de comentarios que permite que los gestores del ayuntamiento interactúen directamente con los ciudadanos, de modo que la información se intercambia de manera directa y se pasa de modelos antiguos en los que había que rellenar largos formularios de papel, entregarlos y perderse al final en un proceso burocrático que el ciudadano no tenía la sensación de saber si funcionaba o no, en un modelo de transparencia en el cual se puede ver cómo se está llevando a cabo todo el progreso de una forma real y auténtica.
We can see that the cities that are joining the Open Agile and Smart Cities initiative, they're very keen on sharing, they're very keen on collaborating. They actually compete, many of them, especially within a country, on a region, or even globally. But they need each other to be able to even learn from the good ideas and be able to quite quickly copy when somebody finds a good strategy for any sort of case in the city. I think we're seeing a shift, actually, where city development, which has been very planned and very top-driven, is operating increasingly on, you could say, internet principles of sharing, of making your efforts available.
Of course, what we see in the market is several solutions. And to integrate several solutions from different companies without having standards, and if you want to do it in a not sticking with one single vendor, then you have problems. So the standards are mostly important, and the Open and Agile initiative is very important for that. So we can, and what we are doing in the past year is that to go with all the vendors and say, okay, we want to use your solution, we want to test our solutions, we want to use startups solutions for sensors, for all other data, for tourism, a lot of verticals that you can have in smart cities, but please try to integrate with our platform, that's Spyware platform, where you can have all the opportunities to work with several other entities.
Soy Fernando Moro y pertenezco al proyecto Mejora tu Ciudad.
My name is Vincent. I'm the co-founder of Host2Be.
Rui Costa, and I'm the CEO of Ubiver.
Hi, I'm Serena, and my project is Bed Sharing.
As you see, what is the kind of intention that we have here? Probably the video will explain it much better than I tried to do at the beginning. So what we have here is the possibility of creating, so the technology providing possibility of creating a series of new applications for the citizens in different fields, right? Smart cities ranging from smart health, transportation, e-government, whatever. So there are companies doing this initially in an isolated way. There are governments that need applications for the home purposes in some areas, and the idea is to make these things match together. So giving them the right infrastructure that the companies that are working traditionally have worked in an isolated way can share the data they are producing and taking data also from other applications potentially, make more and more interesting services that make actual sense for the different municipalities, governments, and so on. Okay, so putting an infrastructure that allows to do this in a more smooth way is to coordinate. In this loop, we want to involve the final users because it's not only about policy telling what is relevant for the citizens, but really putting the citizens in the hands of collaborating in the design of the technology in the way that they get familiar and the adoption is smoother and easier. So this is more or less the in few words, the full idea behind it. So in this project, what we want to do is to try to put on the table the different people representing industry, users, experts, citizens, education, so meaning training and so on, to simplify, to give one step forward possibility of doing this a reality for Mexican context. Okay? So coming back to the members that are in the user working groups of what I told before, is I would like to hear a little bit from them, just maybe an initial idea of what they have in their mind that could be put on the table for later development in the meetings of the users working group about what's their own vision on how we can move forward this idea of giving smart cities technologies to citizens. Okay, so I may start maybe with Richard that has this very nice picture here. Maybe you can do a quick introduction about yourself and then maybe talk about the leading ideas.
Okay, thank you, Oscar. I'm Richard Stevens. I'm research director at IDC. Some of you probably know IDC. We're a market research organization that's worldwide. I was on the expert group that started the Future Internet PPP with the European Commission, and I was the expert that followed the Fiverr project and the support action Concord at the beginning. So I've seen Fiverr since its very beginning. In the last couple of years, I ran a study on Fiverr. Now you know that the FIPPP is several hundred million euros of European investment, and they are obliged to do an impact analysis of every investment that they make. So in particular, I was looking at the third phase, or the accelerator program, when Fiverr was pretty much already developed and on the table, and they wanted to bring it out to cities, to small and medium enterprises, to startups, to internationalization like Mexico. So the third phase funded five accelerator projects, which in turn funded about 1,000 startups. And I think one thing that would be really interesting to do and come out of this work is to focus on what kind of impact these startups have had. Because if you have an example of something that works, then maybe you're more willing to try it and you have some better idea about how you can use the results of something like Fireware. So we can maybe we can look at some of the some of these guys like Hostabee or UBeware and see how they did it and see what kind of impact they had. So that would be what I would say.
Of course, it's very open to discussion at any moment. Even if you want to interrupt our experts to the group, if you have any question while people are speaking. So I have a question now for you. You mentioned this potentially looking back into what's been done already in Europe and looking about the impact. When you mentioned impact, what do you refer exactly to? You mentioned, do you think about the impact of creating more companies and providing services for the impact to the citizen, in which way? So could you elaborate a little more on this impact that you think we can think about?
Sure. I mean, you can cut things up however you want. You can talk about the advantages of anything. But in the end, I know this sounds very reductive, but people want to make money. Especially if you're a small company, you want to survive. You don't want to die. A lot of SMEs and startups, and they actually don't last more than 3 years. So the first thing we need to think about when we talk about impact is whether or not it's having some economic impact. And that's of course different for any kind of user. So small and medium enterprises interested in living, in making enough money to keep doing something. A company like mine, a multinational big company, is interested just in the bottom line, how much money they make. A city is interested in saving money, for example, which is the same thing as making money. So if we can demonstrate that you're saving money, you're actually having a positive economic impact in your business. So I think when we talk about impact, now we looked at a lot of stuff like innovation, the impact on innovation, how radically Fireware was changing the business models and the technology models that were out. We looked at things like business plans. We looked at the social innovation or the social impact. But I don't know a nice way to say it, but that's all kind of old. It comes down to really whether or not it's sustainable. And any technology investment you make has to be able to change the bottom line or affect the bottom line. So even though we did study, and I can show you a lot of data, I have data on 1,000 startups, 1,000 receivers of Fireware funds. All of it was kind of indifferent, because if I look back at that now 2 years later, what I'm really interested is UBeware still alive? Are they still making business? Are they growing? I think that's what impact is about.
Okay, thank you. So I think this is going to be a very interesting topic to discuss later on with the group. Thank you. Okay, so going in the same line, I skipped Franz because he was not here. I think he hasn't arrived, right? Otherwise, I go back. So maybe we can move to Rafael. So, Rafael, please.
Thank you. My name is Rafael. I'm purely an independent consultant working with a number of organizations. Mainly, the organization I'm representing here is Fundación Metrópoli from Madrid. Fundación Metrópoli is a research and think tank of cities, mostly coming from the territorial development and urban development of cities and territories. And I'm doing a lot of work with them, mostly within the intersection between urban development, cities transformation, and technology. I'm also doing a lot of activities with the development banks, Asian Development Bank, Inter-American Development Bank, and right now I'm working mostly on digital transformation with Inter-American Development Bank, new initiative for Latin America, it's called the Digital Transformation Initiative. So those are the things I'm doing currently. Prior to this phase, I spent almost 20 years working for Microsoft, big company. I started doing government and education for Latin America. I was 20 years ago the person that established the organization for Microsoft in Latin America and the Caribbean to engage and work with governments and education segments. It was a very, very interesting period of time. After a few years organizing the sales strategy and how to engage with governments, I created Microsoft, a new organization that deals with development organizations. So I spent almost 10 years living in Washington, D.C., engaging Microsoft with four banks, American Development Bank, American States, UN, and all this ecosystem of international organizations. And after that, I took a global role. So we replicate in Microsoft the model I developed for Latin America. The model was replicated worldwide. I was the worldwide director for that team that deals with international organizations. We moved across Africa, across Asia, across all the different geographies. It was really, really great experience. So why? What I can bring, I left Microsoft 2 years and a half ago as part of the big organization of the company. During this period, so I've been working mostly in smart cities, work across the world, and digital transformation. So I think that I mentioned to you. I think I can bring to this work group experience on business models, like Stephen was mentioning, the bottom line and sustainability. The business model, how to really drive impact in people's lives, what we do with technology and projects, and everything we do, try to develop impact, drive impact the life of people, but really it requires it really requires sustainable models in order for companies to continue doing things, universities to continue doing research, and governments to continue the modernization process. And outreach and deliver those services to the citizens, because at the end, that's the only way to deliver. Why cities? Cities are really critical. Today, you know, the world is a world of cities. We are talking about around 50% of the population and growing that is living in cities. And all the services that a government delivered to the citizens and to the businesses landed in the city. So the national governments deal with national agenda, but at the end, people live in cities. And in the cities is where the services to deliver and where the services really reach to different individuals. So my value proposition, I hope, will be helping you to analyze it and helping you to think about business models that have to generate sustainability around the framework. Second, my experience working on public-private partnerships. A lot of the work I did in the past has been about partnering universities with government and private sector and NGOs, international organizations. I would say probably third piece is the work before Microsoft, I was in university, so I was a researcher also. So writing is one of the things we're going to do. So I think we're going to have a good time really writing and producing the research documents that will be useful for this community.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Starting to shape better the group. And now I think in the emails that we were exchanging before, I think it's much better to do this face to face because it's much easier really to get the maximum out of the different participants. Next in the list, and I saw that she arrived already, so we have Adriana Lapardini. You would like to present something or you want to talk, whatever you prefer?
Notes.
Sure.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Austin and Power, and for this wonderful opportunity to work together on what we should become an efficient, inclusive, smart city. And my name is Adriana Lardini. I am a commissioner at IFT, which is the Telecommunications Regulator and the Competition Authority in Mexico. It's a federal institution. And well, there's so much to say. Before working at IFT, I worked for many years as a consumer advocate, founding a consumer rights organization where we learned a lot about users, about empowerment, about the asymmetries that users and consumers face vis-a-vis providers of goods and services. And so I just, in a general note, I think we have to address both supply side issues and demand side issues in a project of this dimension. And so I assume, well, this is the demand side group, the users group. And there's, I would say, two main things we have to not only think of, but somehow implement when it comes to the digital economy and digital cities. And it's basically trust and education. And if they are absent, we cannot make any progress in the digital economy in smart solutions. And in order to gain trust in the use of machine to machine and Internet of Things and connecting cities, we both need to be more digitally educated as users, to be more savvy as how our personal data is better kept, as how we use networks, how to store data, what to trust, what not to trust. But also, we need to make sure that there's an ecosystem that is cyber secure and a number of enablers, I would say. But trust, education, and always make sure that users have choices. That's something that I'm concerned about. That the only choice is not whether to join a service application or social network, or you are left out. That you hopefully will see in the future more business models where users can opt in or opt out whether to pay for a given service or application rather than donate, if you will, their data or their consumption patterns. Anyway, so that's on the one hand. But on the other, cities have to make sure that they are managing their public resources efficiently and that public goods and public spaces remain as such. That by making a city smart, we do not exclude citizens from access to services, to public spaces by somehow privatizing. And when there's a city with challenges and the knowledge to use digital solutions, there tends to be a greater digital divide, and we have to make sure we avoid. Also, I think it is important, especially in Mexico, when we think of all the things that will be needed to make this true, from infrastructure and sensors and apps and everything, that we develop knowledge in Mexico, that we are not only consumer of technology software from abroad, but that we are producers of whether it's a content, a software, design of or manufacture of sensors, that we now for this, finally, that we start becoming part of the technology providers, not only the buyers of technology. Yeah. That's important. And just one thing not to forget, because Mexico has made commitments internationally, as many of the countries come from, for sustainable development goals towards 2030. And that means goals of fighting poverty and procuring accessibility for disabled people and gender equality and a number of very important goals, all of which should be taken into consideration when designing and implementing a a smart city, that it is an enabler of human rights, of development, and of more equality, which is one of the most needed goals in our country. That there are not citizens that have access to everything and the others that remain without access. It's not only access to an application or so, it's access to water, to health services, to education, to employment, for livelihood. And so I think a well-designed smart city can be an enabler of these human rights and sustainable development goals that we need to make sure we achieve. Just to end, I worked in a workshop about 6 months ago with the city of Mexico, and the largest city and most poetic city, but a wonderful city in the world. And the government of the city of Mexico is working on a smart city plan. And what they put us together for 3 days working on an exercise of the perspectiva, how to build the future, not to predict the future, but to build it in the context of smart city. And we identified, and it was a large group of over 30 people, different backgrounds, a matrix where we identified what would be like the first enablers or inputs that we needed to make sure that we could get a smart city, both infrastructure-wise and human capital, and spectrum and standards and etc. And that's what I sent to you. And which of those variables are more and more important, or at least have a higher priority in time? And so that we have to make sure we have them in place before we start thinking of building a smart city. I do expect to, one of the things for me is really interesting, and I really don't, I'm sure I'll get an answer from you all, is whether this is a project, and I know there's a lot of experience in projects like this, whether top to bottom or above or bottom up or both. Because it involves a city government. But the solutions are ecosystems, and I think that there are multi stakeholders. But who comes first? I mean, does it take a strategy, a planified central, or it just starts popping, with the machine to machine new developments, with new devices, as we are starting to see in the market. So I don't know whether it just happens or it should be planned for and developed integrally. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. You already mentioned very, very relevant points for this working group. I just took note of a few of them, but I think all of them are equally important. You mentioned trust, which that is a big challenge, really big challenge, because it's around that we can do it or we cannot do it. End of the day. You mentioned inclusion. So inclusion of the users. Why we have this technology are we using this technology really to bring people to the services, to bring services to people, or are we using this technology as a way to even make the gap bigger? This is a question I think that we need to discuss in the users working group. You mentioned equal access that is related to this. And this fact that not only Mexico being an adopter of technology, but actually become a technology provider is something also to really think about very carefully. But if we manage to answer, I think, even at least one of these questions in the right way, to give advice on at least one of these topics, I think with the work done by the group will be successful already, because these are really very important and relevant problems. If this is something that we have to answer from a top-down, bottom-up approach, I think if the project aim is to go both sides, the reason we have groups working more with industry, groups working more with users, and trying to find the right way in between, but I think the challenges are very big. The time of the project duration is limited, but I think with the expertise of people sitting here, we can at least do a very good contribution towards the whole discussion, especially for Mexico. So thanks. And we go on with the presentations. I think next one in the list of the people that are actually present today is Giuseppe. And I'm very interested in what Giuseppe will tell, because he's coming from, I think, the bottom-up approach, right? So this is exactly what, something that is really missing a lot, I think. Personally, it's only a personal opinion, but I think that's kind of grand in the firework community. So people talking as individuals, the companies that are involved, how they see the future, how they see things happening, and the makers getting on to support the better design of smart cities for the future. So this is it.
I'm a software engineer. Live like all the time, and I worked in many companies in Italy and Austria, as a software engineer. And later in 2014, after some research in a garage, I found a company. It's called JeepTech with the other people, and we are developing a technology that is able to locate people and things inside buildings, so like the GPS, but indoors. And we spent the first year to develop this technology, but then we found the problem that the market was not ready yet to adopt directly our solution. And so we started also to develop the verticals. This technology, and instead of reinvent the wheel, we try to find other technologies that help us to integrate our technology in a ready to market product. That's how we came with touch with the Quiver technology. So we used the Quiver Lab and the other part of the Quiver ecosystem to develop some application. One of these applications is an app for museum that is deployed in Trento, initial museum, which is an open view. So we are now using technology to help us to prepare apps and solutions.
My question now, an immediate question that I have for you is why you choose Fiverr and not other platforms that may be available for doing similar things? I think this is talking about adoption, something that we need to think about. Why Fiverr and not other choices?
Okay. First of all, because there are other solutions, of course, are in the market that are very competitive, but we wanted to use something that is open source and can be also adapted to other kind of technologies. Since we generate location data, we want also to provide some way to use this data from other solutions, and then that's why we use Quiver technology.
And open source, and this is something very interesting. I think the nice part of the working group is exactly this, that we have people seeing the problem from a kind of higher level, some people having the right answers, like you said, very pragmatic. So I just need, because it's open source, others are closed. And this is a simple question that has really a lot of discussion behind. So the open source initiatives towards the closed systems, as we were mentioning at the beginning of the session, while watching the video, so people want to use platforms that can actually really talk to other platforms to share data, to be able to get data from other sources, use it, and send it back. So, this is a lot of input that I think we will be able to provide you in the way of the Thank you very much. Please.
I have a question for you. You said you developed solutions realizing afterwards or realizing at some point that the market was not really for the kind of solution you developed. My question is how Fiverr helped to get closer to the market, if at all?
I don't know if using other kind of technology at the same time to the market. The problem for us was that now a lot of there are a lot of studies and papers talk about indoor localizations, but at that time everybody was something that everybody wanted, but nobody wanted to be the first. So we also wanted to find a way to not only sell one piece of technology, but also have the possibility to be integrated with existing data. So, for example, in my project, we use the pure technology to collect position of point of interest to use in our apps. So in this way, we could not only use a specific database, but we can use a base that can be provided by a third party in, not only that this open source is something that is not a standard, but for us it's like a standard. Thanks.
Going on, in the interest of time, I will go directly to Christian. So, Christian, you can.
Very briefly, I'm Christian Levin from Italy. I'm a lecturer at the University of Padua. And I have an impact that is about people. So, it's not Richard's impact, it's not also Rafael's impact. I start from the people because I work with the disabled people, I work with the elderly people, with people with dementia. And so, as Giuseppe was saying, sometimes we're developing some technologies that are not maybe ready for the market, or we are not co-create the technology with the people that are using the technology. I was traveling with people with disability all over the world, and also working with the people with dementia. And the idea from that perspective is completely different. So if we want to use some technology also from the inclusion point of view, I'm very agree with you, that when we think about the inclusion, we have to think also about people that are just old, just deaf, blind, or have a disability, or motor impairment, or whatever is out there. So if we are able to co-create with the people something, to involve the people also in the development, I think that the sustainability and the scalability of the technology that we want to put in the market will be there. Thank you.
So this is the users working group. It's the first time we sit down together in the room. I'm very excited about the discussion that can come out after listening to all of you, really. There is a lot of different things here going on and ideas. I will turn out to Miguel, for he can introduce some people from the other working groups. And then later we will split, I think, for the last part of this session, just to discuss a little bit more of the very next things we are going to do.
Briefly, because we have really good time, I would like to introduce just one member of each working groups, because we are starting to work with the research and education, and just giving also for the industry working group the path to the input thing. So let me introduce Juan Carlos Tellis, just as the main representative of InfoTech, just to say some words about yourself, Juan Carlos, and what do you expect from the industry working group for Fiverr and InfoTech? Yes.
Good morning.
haven't heard speaking Spanish because I've seen many persons speak Spanish still. Es muy importante para lograr la inclusión de la industria, alinear los incentivos que debe tener la industria a través de un mecanismo de colaboración, un mecanismo de competencia colaborativa. Y esto se logra a que la colaboración logre obtener más beneficio del esfuerzo que ellos van a proporcionar de participar en un ecosistema como es el FIWARC. Y dada la complejidad de lo que significa la generación de datos digitales y su costo de transacción de generarlos, la forma en que la empresa y la meta que tenemos de llegar a 1,000 empresas emblemáticas es que ellos vean que tienen externalidades positivas, que con sus diferentes productos de IoT puedan, a través de esta plataforma de información contextual, obtener y generar más fácilmente información para que sus servicios, ya de manera muy particular, puedan ser establecidos de manera estable, porque el laboratorio de todo el desarrollo de Pago que se encuentra en Infotec, si bien es uno de los más grandes que hay fuera de Europa y como unidad es uno de los más grandes también, es importante darle estabilidad a estas aplicaciones. De manera de prueba está muy bien que estemos trabajando, pero ya cuando se tiene que trabajar con una ciudad y una ciudad depende de que la información sea oportuna para la toma de decisiones, ahí es cuando debemos tener problemas. Entonces, esta sinergia, también el costo de la curva de aprendizaje va a ser más amigable en desarrollo de aplicaciones generales para poder hacer las aplicaciones particulares es fundamental. Entonces yo creo que la industria se va a dar cuenta que este es un mecanismo del que puede llegar a aportar, pero va a obtener más de esa aportación y puede profundizar porque las metas son muy ambiciosas. En términos generales sería mi primera conclusión.
Muchas gracias. And finally, I would like to introduce you, maybe Nancy, to give some words concerning the research and education group. It could be also just a few words. And
thank you very much. I will express myself in Spanish also because I think that we are in Mexico, and after all, we could explain it. Muchas gracias, Miguel. Bueno, también tengo la oportunidad de colaborar con Infotec, que soy estudiante del Centro de Investigación. Y bueno, solamente también como CUDI y el área de salud, nosotros vemos una oportunidad en FIWARC y también un interés en el grupo de usuarios finales. Yo colaboro con la Escuela Superior de Medicina del Politécnico Nacional, la segunda más importante de México, y lo que estamos trabajando es justo cómo los estudiantes de medicina y los recién egresados de medicina pueden retroalimentar las necesidades que ven en campo y pueden ser co-creadores de algunas propuestas. Hemos trabajado con pequeños grupos de estudiantes que ya han propuesto sus propias aplicaciones pequeñas. Y donde vemos la oportunidad que plataformas como FIWARC sirvan para prueba y también para visualizar a futuro cómo pueden ser escalados. También pues, sería breve y espero que podamos establecer una colaboración.
Muchas gracias.
I think it's time to split the rules for concerning users' rules in the local state here in the room. Concerning the industry and research and education members' rules, we will do the be working on your room. And then we will start the open door at 11. So, guys, so we have to see that's why I think we have time to split the working.
So we get like, and 5 minutes just to split the rules now and we can get closer to the working with the users working group so we can start the discussion. Okay. So, please. First, I just want to introduce Yolanda Rosa, is the project coordinator for IHA.
Hi, Me gusta mucho estar aquí con todos vosotros y empezar a trabajar con los grupos de trabajo. Yo soy la coordinadora del proyecto Power México, pero realmente somos uno más, porque realmente está haciendo todo el trabajo de Power México, que son nuestros amigos de IPT, del Rey de Monterrey y de Acudi. Bueno, en la parte europea pues, tenemos a la OSCA, que ya fue presentado, son Moni, señor Lofane, y también a Telefónica, que no han podido venir. Creo que presento a Animar Europa. Creo que va a ser una jornada hoy y mañana muy interesante, y después esta reunión es ideal para tener un contacto cara a cara, ¿no? Y que podamos a partir de ahora trabajar de una manera más efectiva, porque aunque está muy bien trabajar virtualmente y la tecnología hoy lo permite, pero creemos que es necesario por lo menos tener alguna reunión y poder compartir nuestras ideas de Facebook. Después de esta vamos a hacer el Open Firewall Camp, yo creo que va a ser muy positivo hoy y mañana, así que bueno, muchas gracias a todos por estar aquí.
So we can split now, so people in the research working group can stay, so we can learn together.